tell me what makes a school board important and why is it important for people to vote in school board elections?
Well, that's a two-part question. What makes a school board important is that it works on behalf of the people that are sending their kids to that school district. Why is it important to vote in that type of an election is because if you look around, we've remained stagnant for quite a few years. And I don't really honestly understand why that is. Cesar Rodney used to be almost the pinnacle of districts. It was the shining star for Kent County as to where you wanted to send your children. And it's great that we have immersion programs. It's great that we have things for people to do, but we've kind of lagged behind and our population is growing. Our schools remain the same. Our classroom sizes are growing. And it just seems as though nothing's being done in the district.
Why did you decide to run for school board?
Well, again, I'm representing a single parent mindset. So when schools start at 7:30, let's say, or 8:05, and they're letting out at 2:30 for the middle schools, I represent the single parents that have to try to figure out how you balance a career and the responsibilities of sending your children to school. And I get that a lot of people that are on this school board are retirees and they're 30-year educators and they've done their part. But just because you've been in a school system as a teacher for 30 years doesn't make you qualified to be a district leader. That all falls into the Jacob's Ladder theory. But what makes a great teacher does not necessarily make a great district board member. So I'm coming at this from a fresh set of eyes. I'm coming at this from a perspective where I want to be holding people accountable. And unfortunately, over recent years, what I've seen is increasingly teachers are becoming almost the victims in the school system. They have a union that won't represent them properly, and they have a school board that really doesn't want to bother with what teachers need. And teachers are often caught in the middle. I didn't grow up like that. And I don't want my kids growing up thinking, well, if I just shout loud enough, somebody will hear me and then I'll get recognized. We need to start fixing problems that are in our classrooms. We need to start fixing classroom sizes. We need to start holding people accountable. And that means parents, it means students, it means teachers, and it also means board members. If you're holding a seat and you're not doing anything and you're not aware of the problems that are in the district, then you're part of the problem.
What experiences do you have that prepare you for the role on the school board?
Well, there are people that are make excellent bosses. And I think that if you spend 30 years in any career, you eventually learn the ropes and you're promoted to become a junior level employee, a senior level employee, a supervisor, a boss. But that doesn't necessarily make you a leader. That is what I am. That's what I bring to the table, is leadership and leadership experience. I have 12 years serving in the military. I have 3 tours to Iraq and Afghanistan. So I don't want to follow the crowd and walk happily down the street hand in hand. I still want to start holding people accountable, and I want to start finding out what the problems are and start fixing them. Because I have kids that go to the school, and I want to make sure that they're getting the best possible education that I can provide for them.
What do you think are the biggest challenges facing your district right now, and what are you going to do to try and solve them?
Classroom size is number one. I know that we're building a new elementary school down in Magnolia, but our middle schools are currently overcrowded. Our classroom sizes are just not where the student-teacher ratio needs to be. I made the statement before, you know, if you were to plant 2 trees at the same time and one of them was in an open field and one of them was crowded around a bunch of other trees, you're going to see stagnant growth in a tree that's smothered by other trees. Meanwhile, you're going to see a tree that flourishes in an open field. And the reason is because it gets all the attention from the sun. It doesn't have to share it. So I want to fix the problems that are going on in the classrooms. I want to fix the problems where we have kids that aren't being taken care of properly, where we have special needs that need to be addressed. I certainly don't believe that as being the second smallest state in the union, we need to follow the federal guidelines to a T and wait 3 months for a turnaround to do IEPs. I don't understand this. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why aren't we doing better than what the federal mandate is? Why are we okay with just settling for it? Well, it says here that I have 3 months to turn this around, so that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to wait 3 months to turn this around. If we need to start hiring more people to go through the paperwork, then let's do that.
I know that school boards don't really have a ton of sway in terms of the reopening plans. A lot of it is up to the Board of Education and what their plans are going to be, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are on reopening in the middle of this pandemic and what your thoughts are on the best way to approach reopening schools.
So I've read the plan, the 35-page plan for reopening schools, and it's great. Here's my problem. Here's my issues, is that we're going to start taking temperatures at the door for these students. So let's just use them getting off of a bus, for example. We have 28 kids packed on bus. One kid has a temperature of 101. So that kid then becomes isolated and is not allowed into the school. What guidance has the school been given to quarantine that student? What guidance has the school been given to start contacting parents and have that child picked up? Meanwhile, the other children that kid came into, that come into contact with this other child that has a temperature of 101, they are possibly infected. However, they're not going to show signs and symptoms that first day when they get off the bus. They're going to come in, go through their normal day, interact with their friends, hopefully properly social distance, hopefully wear masks. But they've still come into contact with patient zero. So in 3 to 4 days, they too had the potential to develop signs and symptoms. So you're increasing the risk factor by 20 to 30 with each class that child enters. And I don't see that as being realistic to contain. I worry about teachers having enough sick time to take off once they become infected. I worry about the fact that there's such a stringent rule policy on teachers being able to have leave donated to them only from other teachers within the district. What happens when we lose a teacher? How many different types of substitutes are going to be willing to step into that classroom and teach? These are all things that, you know, while on paper they look good, it's going to be a mess when we have our first case.
So does that mean that you're in favor of a more online-only approach?
I think parents should have the opportunity to make that decision for themselves. I don't think that would look pretty. I think that offering parents the opportunity to continue remote learning through the CR platform would ultimately reduce classroom sizes. It would reduce the strain on schools. It would reduce the number of teacher to student ratio in the classrooms. And then offer in-class learning for those parents that feel I can't, there is no other way for me. I need to send my child to school. But if we're being honest, if we're being frank, it's not a matter of if, it's really a matter of when. When do we get our first case in the school? And what does that look like? When do we get our first case on the bus? Or we have a bus driver that gets their first case. So we need to be able to invest heavily in an online platform that works, We need to have an accountability system for students showing up that we didn't have at the end of the last year. We need to have an accountability system for parents to ensure that their children are logging in and to ensure that their children are doing the work. And all of that's kind of fallen by the wayside. We know what the problems are from the end of last year, but we haven't implemented anything, any type of solutions to fix those problems, because we're so gung-ho about getting the students back into the classroom. So I'm in favor of a hybrid platform, something where we give parents the right to choose, and for those parents without any option, we do open up the school for them.
And finally, why should voters choose you over your opponent in this election?
If people are happy with the way things are right now, then please, by all means, keep things the way they are. I do not like the way things are right now. I think that CR can be better. So if people feel like me, then I'd ask that they vote for me. Because, again, what I'm bringing to the table is accountability and leadership. I don't want to shy away from the big problems. I don't want to shy away from the problems like, oh, what about building another middle school? Well, that's going to cost an exorbitant amount of money. Okay, but let's at least have the conversation. Let's at least find out what it's going to cost. We can't keep sticking our heads in the sand and pretending like these problems don't exist within our district. So I have nothing against Joyce Denman, but I'm ready to bring change.